News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
June has landed upon us, so too does a new season of Love Island. But what does the island have in store for us, and do we still even care? Saoirse Hanley, Irish Independent columnist, joins us this morning. Saoirse, do we care? I mean, I remember back in the day when you'd watch Love Island, and I certainly did do this, on my holidays, I'd be away on a Greek island myself trying to get it in on my phone to see what was happening. I don't know that it still has that pull.
I doubt it. I've been on like nights out or out for drinks with people having a lovely time in a beer garden, and I've literally been at like 8:40 being like, oh, actually, I have somewhere to be. Sorry, I have to go. And it was to get home for Love Island. But I think if I did that now, they'd think I'd had a lobotomy, I think, at this point. It hasn't quite got the same pull.
And why is it? Is it just that we're bored of the formula, that it's, you know, it's the same old, or are we just postmodern in some way now that we, you know, there's only so long anything keeps our attention?
I think it's probably a bit of both of those things, that on one hand, like, the format has gotten quite stale in the sense that I think it's on season 12 of the UK season of the UK show now. But then there's also All Stars and there's also America. So there's, and also the winter season. Yeah. So you've got like four different iterations of very much the same thing. And every year you kind of see attempts at producers to maybe freshen things up or, you know, change things around a little bit to keep it interesting. But ultimately, every time I feel like we're watching the same 12 people do the same things for 6 weeks. And then come out of it and not last a week longer after they come out.
And is that what it is? It is like the same 12 people. They're all very generic. They all kind of look the same. They, like, the blokes are all, you know, six packs, and the girls are all like perfect figures and, you know, hair extensions and stuff. Is it just that they are almost interchangeable season in, season out?
They definitely are. I mean, like, you see people now that come up on, say, they'll go into another reality show years later, or they'll be on TikTok and I'm like, what season were you? Because you look like every season. But I think the issue with Love Island as well is that, like, the formula that they have, like, very much, because it stayed the same, it happens the same every year. And so if anybody's introduced who maybe isn't, you know, a size two, or someone's introduced who, you know, like, isn't white, or is, you know, there's a woman this year who has a facial scar from, she was a fire eater in a club, and she got awfully burned on her face. Okay. And she had reconstructive facial surgery, and that's amazing. She's absolutely stunning. I think it's great that you've representation of, like, you know, there was a couple of years ago they had someone who was blind in one eye, or we had Tasha who was deaf, and all of these kind of attempts at difference and pointing out that people are different and we're all, you know, worthy of love and all of these things. That's a good message to give. But oftentimes people that don't look like the cookie cutter Love Island persona, they don't end up finding someone, or they kind of get discounted, or we're watching along kind of cringing.
Yeah, it's in
not
fairness,
going
Tasha had her pick. She did, you know, there was a lot of love for Tasha
and
all,
love Tasha, there was.
All that went on. But I don't know, I just wondered, do you think that we've just wised up that we're being played? You know, the Casa Amor thing and all of that we're kind of going, oh, here we go. Temptation will, you know, set in and all that. Like, you know, back when it was Molly May and Maura Higgins and kind of Love Island's heyday, maybe were we just at all a little bit more innocent back then?
I think we were kind of more willing, even if we knew we were being played, we were more willing to be. Like, I think, you know, reality TV has always had an element of producers, you know, manipulating things, and we're aware of that as viewers. But I think, like, a great example is the Love Island account came out yesterday with, you know, bombshell alert. Here's the bombshell that's going to come in and shake things up. But the show hasn't started. It's starting tonight. And if we're already being introduced to who's going to shake things up on night one, like, that's no longer even a shock.
I know.
So even their, like, usual shock value things, we just come to
bombshell is probably overstating it. Maybe here's the next damp squib.
Here's another person who's going to come in and we might not even see them again. But I think what they need to start doing, really, not that the producers are asking for my advice, but I would love if, like, I was talking to my boyfriend about it this morning, about how when you're watching it, you don't ever actually see them get to know each other. All you see is iterations of, can you go for a chat? I'm feeling really mugged off. You're my type. There's no kind of like, oh, like, how did you grow up? Or what was school like? Or what do you do for work? Or,
you know what? You say it, I think I would prefer that, because then they would be real people. Whereas now they are, as you say, kind of just iterations of each other.
And then they're like screaming, crying, throwing up because something has ended, but we never saw it begin. So we don't understand what they're mourning,
right?
Because we never saw them.
You're so right. Look, we will leave it there, but I think you're so right. I suspect that the figures are only going to go one way on Love Island. That I don't mean their figures. I mean that the viewership is only going to go one way. And that is downwards. But look, let us know. Perhaps we are wrong. Thank you so much to Saoirse Hanley, their Irish Independent columnist. You used to watch it too, Sean?
Yeah, I used to watch it, and like that bored amount. Yeah. The Molly May, Tommy Fury season, that was the peak.
And you know what? We're still kind of interested. Like, you know, Molly May and Tommy Fury broke up, got back together, all that business. People are still interested in
that. Still dining out on it. Though I have to say, I didn't expect your conversation with Saoirse there about eye candy television to end with, we need more intellectual conversation between. That's what's missing.
No, I don't even think intellectual. It would just actual more real stuff.
Something interesting. I think that season
gave us interesting
people.
Because I don't believe in any of their connections, actually. Not really.
No. Anyway. Let us know what you think. And plenty of people have been getting in touch on the text lines and a lot of things we've been talking about throughout the show. We were talking about these changes to the RPZs, the rent pressure zones that are coming tomorrow. One texter in said, you said landlords currently may miss out in real terms if rents don't increase by inflation. But what about their capital gain? That's arguably the main reason that they invest. But they also want the rent to cover the mortgage. You know, it's not totally the capital gain.
Yeah, they look at yields. They absolutely do.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.